Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And reading from verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." One of the thoughts on my mind as we were worshipping and praising this morning was also the fact that first him, Lord Jesus Christ, we seek thy face. Within the veil we bow to thee. And that thought this morning of bowing in his presence as we worship him. Here we find the shepherds. They came, they saw his star, and they came to worship him. They bowed the knee. Perhaps not just physically did they bow the knee, but they bowed the knee in their hearts in praise and in worship. And when Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the elders of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them, and diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Herod had that thought as well, of bowing the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that was not a true bowing of the knee. That was a different sort of bowing, because he was worried, he was concerned that this babe that was to be born, as we heard, "That thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor who shall rule my people Israel." And Herod was afraid of this, and his bowing of the knee was a sort of a pretense. We praise God this morning that we have come in true worship to bow the knee before him. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy, with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And they fell down and worshipped him. And there again we find that in this incident here, they could not fall down and worship the Lord Jesus Christ without bowing the knee. And so they bowed the knee in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there, from the very time that our Lord Jesus Christ was born in that manger as a little babe, we find there that people bowed the knee. And the bowing of the knee there was, as I mentioned before, not just a physical bowing, but it was a bowing of the heart. And they presented and opened their treasures, gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And dear brethren and sisters, this morning as we have come together in our hearts, we have presented to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps to some of us we might feel silently or audibly that our gifts or our praises or our bowing of the knee was very weak and feeble. But this morning I'm sure that the Lord Jesus Christ and God appreciates the slightest and the feeblest praise. Psalm 45, verse 23. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. And isn't that the verse that we read? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that wonderful this morning that we have that privilege to come together to bow the knee before Him? We'll just turn over to Revelation chapter 4. Evermore the praise shall be, Lord of glory, unto thee. And we look into the future here, but you and I shall be a part of this future. But praise God this morning that it's often been said that the angels cannot worship the way you and I do, because you and I have come into that blessing of salvation. We have been contemplating this morning at the death, the burial and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you and I in our hearts have experienced that love in a small measure that the Lord Jesus Christ displayed on our behalf when He died on Calvary's cross. And we praise God this morning that we have this privilege of returning this thanks to Him. But we read here in Revelation chapter 4, verse 10, verse 9, read with thanks again. Andrew brought some scriptures to us this morning where the 10 lepers came and gave thanks to the Lord. And again on that occasion we find the one leper, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and realized what had been done to him, and he bowed the knee. He fell down on his feet and he worshipped God for what he had done to him, and he gave him thanks. The other passage that Andrew read or spoke about was the rich man, the two men in the temple. And the one man was so proud and thought he had done everything right and told God how good he was. But the other one bowed the knee, bowed in his heart, and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And verse 9 in Revelation 4, "And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, evermore the praise shall be, Lord of glory, unto thee." The 24 elders fell down before him. They bowed down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him, that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Lord, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and praise, for thou hast created all things. For thy pleasure they are and were created." Can you just imagine the scene? Perhaps you can just maybe imagine a local scene where somebody is perhaps upheld for the things that they have done. We have people being honored at the moment in the world for being the greatest of this century. They're trying to find the greatest sportsman or the greatest hero for this century. And as it were, in certain ways, they come and they bring all their praises and they bring all their, well, all the things they can think about. And so to speak, bestow it in front of this person. I'm thinking of this scene here this morning, and can you imagine it? Where it says, "And the 24 elders fell down before him and sat on the throne and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns." Can you picture the scene? Them taking off their crowns, bringing all that they had, and laying it at the feet of the Lamb of God who died for you and me. They took their crowns and cast it before him. What a scene. Saying, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor, glory, and honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Thou hast created all things. And you and I are part of those things today that God has created. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And you and I are part of that creation. And God has created us for his pleasure, that we might be able to commune with him. We spoke to the children this morning and just mentioned the fact about Paul, how that God had saved Saul of Tarsus to become Paul. And when he had said to Ananias, because Ananias had said, how can it be this man, Saul, he's been persecuting the Christians. He's been doing such wicked things. Is this right? Is he the man that I'm supposed to meet? And God said to Ananias, I have chosen him. I have chosen him to be a vessel to bring the message of the gospel to the world. And you and I this morning, we are chosen vessels too. God has created us. God has saved us to praise and to worship and to adore him and to be a vessel in his hands, no matter how small. And chapter 5 says in verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made unto us and hast made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the earth and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Thousand, thousand praises be, Lord of glory, unto thee. Isn't your heart glad this morning that you've been able to praise and to adore the one who has done so much for us, even our Lord Jesus Christ? He humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, for you and me. But praise God this morning, he's alive. He's alive and he's in our hearts. And just like Paul, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to use you and I for his glory. Perhaps we could just turn over to Matthew chapter 19 for a few seconds. When Andrew was speaking to, he mentioned the humility of our Lord Jesus Christ and how even last night we heard that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those which were lost. Just like to read a few verses in Matthew chapter 19, and verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. and he laid his hands on them and departed thence. I think another phrase that Andrew used this morning, suffer the little children, or for of such is the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus said unto them, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And just in this few verses here, I would just like to, I this morning before I left home, I typed out on the computer a note for Brother Victor to read to the assembly, to give you thanks for your support last evening. And I typed it up and folded and thought I'd put it in my bag. And as I was driving along, I tried to pull this note out, and every note that I pulled out was the wrong one. And it's probably still at home. And I said, well, what is it? And then the thought just came to me that perhaps the Lord wants you to tell him personally, not just to read the note. And maybe he used me to type the note so that it could stay in my mind anyway. So here I am, instead of Brother Victor reading the note, I'm just personally thanking you this morning on behalf of Paul and Doc and Bruce and Nancy and myself, those of us who labor at Lucas Heights. As you came there last night, probably, you might have noticed that there's a few families there with problems. And we mingle with these families a lot. We see them in the shopping centres. Only on Saturday I sat down on a seat in one of the shopping centres, and there was a young fellow there who had been to the Sunday school a long time ago, and he sat down there and he had his little sister sitting on the seat, and I just happened to sit down there next to them, and I heard the two of them talking, and the little girl was looking at me, and I heard him say to her, it's the man from the Sunday school. So we have a lot to do with them, and some of them have been through the school, and we praise God that it to us, some that we haven't seen for a long time, we've seen them come back time and time again. Some who have grown into teenagers. I think Dot had a note from a young girl last night who hasn't been for the past year or so, but she's been to the camps. And she has said that she trusted the Lord. And she said, sorry, she couldn't be there last night, but she had an operation. So we have to follow up on that. But my thought this morning is just to say thank you for your support and for your prayers and for your practical support and presence last night. Some of these parents have problems, but they are open to the gospel. They are open to God's word, and they never reject God's word. And we are praying that God, through the special bond that we have been able to have with the children, especially that the God will use us, even maybe through the children, to reach the hearts of some of those parents. Sometimes we find that the problems that they have are sometimes a little bit maybe beyond us out there at Lucas Heights. We find some of the requests that we get for help, in whichever way, we sometimes find that a bit overbearing sometimes, and to think, how can we help to solve this problem and perhaps still be able to bring the message of the gospel to these families and their children. But we thank God for your prayers, because so far on all these occasions he has helped us. He has shown us that he is with us. And even last night, I just mentioned to the children this morning how that Uncle Paul was very concerned yesterday that he would get a call from work to go in and serve some spare parts, but he wanted to be at the anniversary, and nothing happened. The moment everything was over, he went to the bus to take the kids home, and the phone rang. "Mr. Primrose, we want some spare parts." And that carried on. And he's been having that 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning during this week. But God undertook for us yesterday, and he kept those four phone calls away. But, yes, brethren and sisters, this morning, I read this passage here again, the little children. It's one of the ways that we can work with God's message through the children to these families we feel. We've been hearing, or we've had the experience of listening to one of the Member of Parliament, Mr. Ruddock. He's on the same platform on the day with our brother Victor. And we've heard some news over this weekend. And we've heard how with these problems with the refugee situation, the question came about again with regard to the children. We feel that the Lord has laid these kids upon our heart and the work there. And this verse, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And we've seen the Lord work through these children, even at Menai, with their parents. And the work that they take home to study, the parents are learning it. And it gives us an open door to speak to them. And we pray this morning that not only the children of Menai, but the children here at Bexley, the Friday night kids, those children that come from homes where their parents do not believe, the Friday night kids, the Friday night youth, the Sunday school children here and in every other part of this country where work is being done through the children, that God will bless it. Because those little boys and girls, what does the scripture say? A little child shall lead them, and God will use them. But God can use them if we allow God to use us to speak to them and show them the love that he has shown us to bring us to himself. Brothers and sisters, just a few scattered remarks about bowing the knee and how God can use us, and evermore the praise shall be, Lord of glory, unto thee.